Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
720 WGN, 610, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran this week. I was talking to my wife last night. I'm like, hey, I can't wait to do the morning show this week. I haven't seen Andrea in such a long time. We haven't worked together forever.
No, it's been a long time.
And when I filled in last week, you were on vacation. She's like, ah, nobody's really working this week.
Like,
what are you saying that to me for? I'm excited to be doing the morning show this week.
You know why? They're all home and they're all out listening.
You're probably right.
Okay.
Yes. Should have told her that was the case for the Packers last night, too. They weren't working this week.
Oh, my gosh. No wonder. It was during the Packer game. She was upset with me. Welcome back. How was your trip?
Thank you so much. It was awesome. I went to Cabo, which is the first time I've been to Cabo since spring break, junior year in college, which was, it's so different now. I mean, back then there's like tons of souvenir stores and kids selling chiclets and little toys. There's very little of that on the beach anymore. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. I played a lot of golf. It was our girls' golf trip.
All right.
So we played four beautiful courses. And even if you didn't like golf, I thought of Mary Vanderbilt because there was one golf course. It was spectacular. They're all in the water. So beautiful views, golf. I hit them pretty well. The scorecard didn't reflect that, but thank God there's no pictures on the scorecards. But anyway, so every fifth hole, Pete, they had a little grill, and there were these little guys making fish tacos. I shouldn't say little grill. It was a relief station, a comfort station.
Was there margaritas there, too?
Relief station? That's what they call it?
Relief. They had a
I need some relief, please. Make me a margarita.
They had a full bar. They were making homemade margaritas. They were making fish tacos. They were making flank steak tacos.
God, that's great.
Every few holes,
God, you're making me hungry.
So by 18, you're like, woo, I'm playing great golf.
I hope there are plenty of bathrooms.
that was Puerto Los Cabos.
That's outstanding. Really cool. I saw some of your pictures, and wow.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Yeah, I was texting with you some pictures. I said, yeah, this is my view. It was funny because we left Saturday morning. It was 85 and sunny and beautiful. And then I came back and I went, what the heck happened to the weather? When I left, it was 70.
It dropped on Friday.
Wow.
It was a rock.
Ooh. Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah, the winds were unbelievable. It was just crazy.
Yeah, I didn't miss that part. Missed you guys, though.
Yeah, right.
You were in Cabo. I was cleaning my garage and getting the Christmas decorations out from the attic.
Oh, I got to do that, too. Mm-hmm.
You can't do that till Thanksgiving's over.
I bring them down. My wife calls it the holding area in the basement.
Because
she likes to put the tree up right after Thanksgiving on Friday.
That's perfect. Did you make the switch?
Did I make the switch with
The switch when you switch your summer clothes to your winter clothes in the closet.
I don't have that many clothes.
Make the transition.
Andrea, I did that like a month ago.
How do you make the switch? Where do you put them?
I made the switch from the one side of the closet.
Rubbermaid.
No, from the one side of the closet to the back of the closet.
I've never, ever done that. Yeah. There is no organization in my closet whatsoever.
Because then you have to move the sandals and the summer shoes, flats.
You have to do
And then
it.
You have to transition.
Everything stays in the same spot.
Short boots, tall boots, black boots, brown boots.
Short boots and tall boots.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Andy, you have this problem too?
Yeah, tremendously. I have to worry about which season we are. So I move my Cub stuff up to the top shelf. I take the Blackhawk stuff down from the top shelf to the
bottom
shelf.
Move one jersey out and another jersey in. That's how it works.
That's included in the move.
I threw my Bear stuff out.
As you probably should. It's great. Thank you for asking it. It's great to be back and great to be seeing you.
It's great.
Awesome.
This is going to be a fun show. Our first guest, is he ready to go?
I'm here.
From WGN Channel 9, it's our old buddy Paul Conrad.
Hello.
Paul.
How are you?
Good to talk to you. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it has been a long time.
I saw something that you posted. I want to get serious for a second.
Yeah.
I saw something that you posted over the weekend, and I want to talk about it right away. You posted a story about a girl in Indiana, a young 2-year-old girl that has cancer. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, she's got it's a soft tissue cancer, and she is getting care. And one of the things she and her older sister, who's 4, they had seen a story about another little girl who was a cancer patient, and she had received like 500 postcards, and those postcards served as encouragement to help her to get through this cancer. Well, she and her older sister decided that to help them and this little 2-year-old girl get through her cancer treatment, they'd love to get Christmas cards. And so her aunt, who's the little girl's guardian, kind of got the word out saying, hey, if you want to encourage our little 2-year-old girl here, and you want to send her a Christmas card and give her some hope, People can do that. And so I posted that story. Marcus Leshock posted that story. I appreciate that you posted it as well.
Yep.
So it's on all of our Facebook pages. And I've got the little girl's name is Cadence Weaver. It's K-A-Y-D-E-N-C-E Weaver. I'm sure you've got some place where this can be posted.
Yep.
But it's a P.O. Box 615 in Noblesville, Indiana, 46061. And it's as simple as just getting a postcard in the mail to her and wish her the best. It really doesn't, you know how you always worry about whether you're giving to an area where everything's being used? It's a
right.
postcard.
It's
you
a
can
postcard,
send a
that's
postcard.
It.
It's going to hopefully encourage a little two-year-old girl who's going through a difficult time.
And you know the family's going to read every single one.
Yeah.
You know they,
yeah.
they are.
So it's just one of those opportunities this time of the year where we have so much to be thankful for. It's a simple do, and it'd be awesome. I appreciate you bringing it up because I think it's a great way for the community to get involved in helping encourage another person.
And there's something super cool still, especially for kids, about getting mail,
right.
isn't it?
Oh,
right.
yeah.
I mean,
it's
how fun
deal.
Is that?
It is.
So it's a neat thing.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving? What do you have going on this week?
My wife and I are taking our four kids to Michigan, and we're getting out of the city. Got rented a place. It's got a big yard, and we're going to run around. Even if it's going to be raining cold, getting out of the city, we're going to have a nice time.
You're going to be running around. Who cooks? Are you cooking or is your wife?
That's been a bone of contention. I don't know how to cook. I've got an allergy that goes with that, and so I'm not allowed to do any cooking.
Wait, what? Cooking allergy?
Yeah, I'm allergic. I'm allergic to the stove. It's a rare
disorder. You don't really hear about that,
yeah,
do you?
Yeah, a lot of men have it, but a lot of them never get formally diagnosed, but I got it. You know? Keep me on your prayer list. Doesn't have to be in the top 10, but somewhere on there.
So postcards and now the prayer list for
right.
Paul
yep.
with
there is
the
no,
allergy.
There is no cure for that, by the way.
There's not a cure, yeah. No. So you live with it, and you just do the best that you can.
Well, there are these places, you know, they're called like grocery stores, Mariano's.
Yeah, I've heard about
yeah,
them.
Yeah, and they can prepare a full Thanksgiving
right.
dinner
Everything
for
right.
you.
So that's
prepared.
What I'm
yeah.
trying to have happen. And it should be that easy.
Can
Should
you
be
just
simple, right?
My visual is you got the Country Squire station wagon with the panels on the
yeah,
side. You
it.
Pack up the four kids. Nobody's wearing seat belts. You just throw them in the back
that's
of the station wagon.
Run and
you
gun.
Go old school.
I try to find yes. a drive-through or a gas station that might have some sweaty hot dogs in it and
right.
a bag of chips.
Drive
We're
to Michigan.
Thanksgiving.
Yes, and Pat Tomasulo is in the back
right.
seat.
Right. We like bring him along every year to watch the kids.
Dessert. They might get the gas station donut holes.
Yeah.
Little
Nothing wrong
little
with
Debbie.
That stuff.
I was telling Andrea off the air that Pat and I are neighbors, and we've lived in the same neighborhood for years.
Yeah.
I've seen him one time.
Yeah,
never comes out
no,
of his house.
He is afraid of daylight.
He is just one
and
strange
when he does
dude.
Come out, it's
I
just
love
to
him.
Walk his dog.
Yes, I that's when I saw him. I saw him 2 weeks ago throwing mm-hmm. poop away in the garbage can because
right.
he picked up his
and hopefully
dog's
hopefully it was
poop.
His dog's, yeah.
It's funny,
yeah.
we asked him, and he said, yeah, I see Pete all the time. I went, oh, run. Look away, look away.
Don't do it. You guys, do you have a little party over there before you take off?
No, we barely even talk with each other as soon as the show's over. It's typically a foot race to the car, and after sitting next to each other, typically by Wednesday, Robin will say, I believe we have officially run out of things to talk with each other about. Like we're like old married couples. So
I bet Robin's the first one out the door.
She is. And
yeah.
there have been days that I can beat her. If I see her ahead of me in the hall, I try to make a mad burst to get past her. But typically she's the first one out.
Do you say, move, woman?
Look out, I'm coming through.
Well, the big question is it going to rain on Thanksgiving Day?
I don't think so. I think we'll have rain here tomorrow night, probably after 10 o'clock, and then through the day Wednesday we'll have rain, so it could make travel a little bit sloppy. But then I think the great majority of that gets out of here very early, and Thursday I think somewhere between mostly cloudy and partly sunny and up mid-40s. Not spectacular, but pretty decent day, all things considered.
Does anybody still play football on Thanksgiving morning?
You know, I got a group of guys who do with their kids, and I wish I could participate in that, but I'm going to Michigan. I'll be playing in the backyard with my kids.
If you were in town, would you play football? Tackle?
Yeah, not tackle anymore.
Okay.
I used to. I'll tackle my kids.
Andy,
hey, listen,
playing?
I got to run.
Okay, thanks, Paul.
All my love.
All right. You playing football?
Not this time, no. We used to do that when I actually you know, had some athletic ability.
We called it the toilet bowl, and once my brother, the dentist, blew out his knee, we all retired.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
That was it. All right. Paul
that's
Conrad.
Just our excuse to get all you guys out of the house, out of the kitchen.
Get out of here, go yeah. play football and hurt yourselves.
That's stove allergy, you know, it's
contagious. Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. We open the wine. You guys deal with your allergies.
You remember General Dunlop?
There he is.
Thanks for coming, General.
When we found out that you had a secret plan, it really energized us.
That's right. A plan.
Let's save some lives together, sir.
Tremendous. Big plan. Big plan. Google what is ISIS. Oh, my.
720 WGN. That was Alec Baldwin on Saturday Night Live as Donald Trump. He's so funny.
Oh, I wondered what they were going to do after the election.
Yeah.
I left the night that Kate McKinnon did the Alleluia, which I thought was a beautiful tribute, kind of putting that character to bed.
Right.
Well, I'm sure we'll see it again. But then the Alleluia tribute, too. And I thought, what are they going to do? But she was a great part of that bit, too, Kellyanne Conway.
She was so funny.
What do you need? A time machine?
I mean, they are hitting stride right now.
Yeah,
I mean,
Baldwin has a job for life. No.
Well, I thought he was going to walk away. Anyway. Was he going to walk away from that? Or is he going to continue to do Trump on SNL?
I think he will continue to do Trump. But I think he said not every single week. We've become accustomed to seeing it every single week now.
Okay.
I think it'll be sporadic. But Jason Sudeikis came back as Mitt Romney.
God,
that was pretty funny, too.
It was so good. And Trump tweeted out afterwards that the show is biased.
Well, yeah,
so here's my question to you.
Isn't that funny? He said, come on.
Okay, here's my question. In the history of modern-day presidents, have you ever heard of a president commenting like that on a television show?
No.
No?
No.
So why is he doing it?
I have no idea. And he's known for kind of taking his opinions out on Twitter. You know, we hadn't had that before. We hadn't had the social media that we have had before. But then again, you don't see, I rarely see President Obama tweet.
Never.
Unless it's something about
a
bill or a mission or something.
Every few hours with Trump.
It's unbelievable. The thin skinness, if that's even a word, is just, it's still, I thought after the election, after he won, it would change a little bit. But, you know,
you
same thing
think,
happened with the Hamilton performance.
Oh, yes, the other night.
Where he wants an apology now from the Broadway cast of Hamilton.
Well, the guy in the cast in New York had the speech to Pence, and then somebody in Chicago over the weekend.
Yeah, there was he was escorted out of the theater and arrested too. This was at the weekend performance of Hamilton here at our theater, not the Schubert. It's the
Cadillac
Private Bank, I think. Private Bank Theater.
How much are Hamilton tickets?
A lot.
So you go through the hoops just to get a Hamilton ticket. You pay this huge price, and you get in there, and you start screaming about Trump.
It's unbelievable. Well,
and you get thrown out.
And how rude is that for everybody else who's paid? I mean, the primo seats, Pete, are probably $500 a piece online for the first, I would say, 10 rows. Mm. And then after that, they go down a little bit, but they are several hundred dollars a ticket, and it is an amazing, amazing performance. It's
Why
a musical unlike anything I've ever seen.
Everyone's so angry about politics. You just got to move on, please. Why are we so angry?
Right. And stop affecting other people. You know, other people are watching the show.
Right.
You don't need to shout, "We won."
Yeah, I get it. Here's something for the Bradley graduates in the group. Andy?
Yes?
You graduated from Bradley. Mm-hmm. Kristen Decker, who's producing all this week. Decker, can you come in here for a second? I have a treat. My brother came in from Peoria.
Oh. So I wanted to hand this over.
Oh, this is what I think this is.
Yes.
This is going to make my morning and maybe my week.
A coffee cake.
Can you pass that over to Andy and Kristen?
Does this not look like a coffee cake, though?
Bring it.
It's called the Avani's Gondola. It's the greatest sandwich on the planet.
Only the greatest sandwich ever.
How would you describe this, Decker?
Sweet bread.
Mm-hmm.
The bread.
Cheap cheese, cheap meat. Cheap food, filling, really good.
It's a sub sandwich, but the bread is made with, it's like salt and sugar.
Mm. Can I tell you, freshman year, I lived on Avani's pepperoni pizza bread.
And it's unbelievable.
And I've survived, and I'm good.
What's the name of the place?
It's called Avani's.
Yeah.
Avani's. They're based out of Peoria,
it's
and there's one right
Illinois
next to Bradley.
Staple.
Okay.
Yes.
Really?
You wrap this thing like I can't
Just rip it up. Rip it up. So we got the Avani's Gondolas that we can pass around. I want you to take a bite, even though you went to U of I.
No, I'll totally.
And Mary, I'll
loyal to
I know.
Illinois. I mean, I am the Illinois schools.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now. I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now. He's from Central DuPage Hospital. Call Dr. Morse right now.
720 WGN, 640. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran on the phone with us. Dr. Kevin Morse. Kev, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Pete. How about yourself?
You've heard about me wearing the boot. I had tendon surgery on my foot.
I heard you were wearing a boot around. See, you had your little Achilles tendon surgery?
I did. It's not the major surgery. They just had to extend the tendon and move a nerve.
He got a boot to match the one on his car. So.
I know it sounds complicated, but one of the new procedures that they did during this surgery is they took marrow and stem cells out of my hip and put it in my ankle so it would heal faster.
Faster, yeah. Yeah, you know, we always want to heal fast, and especially when we have surgery on parts of our body that don't heal quickly. Bones heal faster than tendons, to be honest with you, so if we can take stem cells, which are very immature cells, and speed up the healing process, we're going to do that. So we take them out of your hip. They do what we call like almost a bone marrow aspirate. So they take out some of those stem cells and inject them in. They use it for knee surgery. They use it for ankle surgery as well.
I mean, my hip hurt for 2 weeks. It was pretty painful. I mean, I was asleep during surgery, but you wake up, it's like, what happened to my hip? Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, dang. Before we talk about Thanksgiving, Andy had a question about flu shots.
Yeah. Okay. I don't want this to sound like a dumb question because I'm almost 50 and I should know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask the doc because usually when I wait to go to my doctor for the flu shot, and I'm wondering if there's any difference between this flu shot I would get at my doctor's office or at like a Walgreens.
No, it's the exact same. You could pretty much go anywhere right now and get a flu shot, and they're all made by pretty much just a couple different manufacturers. So really what you need to do, Andy, is say, which one do I want? Because it's not as simple as I want just a flu shot. So now there is flu shots that have protect you against 3 viruses. They protect you against 4 viruses. The flu mist, the spray is gone. And the big thing for me is telling seniors right now, make sure you get your flu shot. For seniors, we have a higher dose one. And an interesting study that came out last spring showed that seniors should get their flu shots in the morning. So those are the big messages. But, yeah, you don't have to wait to go to your doctor. You can go get it when it's convenient for you because what we're really looking at is that 2 weeks needed for protection.
Why the morning?
It's interesting. They found out that cortisol levels are the highest about an hour after we wake up and then taper during the day. And cortisol is very important for us to have a good immune response. So what they found out that people who, seniors especially, who got the vaccine in the morning had a much better immune response than those who got it later in the afternoon, and it equates back to the level of cortisol that they had in their body when they received the shot.
Tina Fey tells me in the Walgreens commercial that it takes 2 to 4 weeks for the flu shot to kick in. Is that true?
Yeah. So we have to realize this is not like an antibiotic where it's like here it is.
Uh-huh.
It does. It takes 2 weeks to kick in. So you won't have a response. So if you're going to get exposed to anybody, you needed that shot 2 weeks ago.
Except the initial response when you scream when you get it. Oh, wait, that's just me.
What about people that say, oh, I never get sick. I don't need a flu shot.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people say that, Pete, and I'll tell you, you know what? Just wait 1 year till you get the flu. You will never miss getting a flu shot again because the minor inconvenience of that shot is much better than 10 days of 102 fever, body aches, and feeling nauseated and feeling terrible and missing 2 weeks of work.
Does it lower your immune system? Does your body get used to it, flu shot, year after year?
No, because it's different year after year. So each year the influenza bug mutates. So each year that flu vaccine is different. That's why we're starting to look at saying, well, what are we going to do long term? And there are some very interesting things saying we have some foundational parts of influenza that we may be able to make a universal flu shot. But until that point, we need it every year. Our immunity will wane through the summer and then peaks back up when you're given the new vaccine for the bugs that you could potentially be exposed to this flu season.
Does everybody have their flu shot?
Yes.
Andrea, you
yeah.
got yours?
Yeah,
Andy,
Doc
you haven't
came,
got yours
came in
yet?
And gave
I
us
got
our
mine,
flu.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Doc came in and gave us our flu shots.
Oh, really?
Andrea
yeah.
doesn't like to get the flu shots.
I'm very, very scared, but I've had one.
What are you scared of?
She did very well.
3 years, I think. Right now, Doc, I've had
it
3 years
is.
In a row.
Yeah.
Because you guys told me to. I never had a flu shot. I said, I don't need
never
one.
Never had a flu shot ever.
I was
ever.
Scared. I bought into the. I was scared. I mean, I had the irrational fears, too. Like, oh, you get the flu shot, you're going to get the flu.
You're going to get the flu.
I'm a little bit scared of needles. I mean, I don't know anyone who really likes them, but I have a little bit of a fear of them. But I'm so happy I do, and I'm going to keep doing it every year.
Doc, I have an 11-year-old son named Charlie, and I never got a flu shot until he started getting a flu shot. So we go as a family every single year.
Yeah. Well, it's great that you do it because, and you said something that's very key here, is anybody that has a young child, a newborn, make sure you get a flu shot. We can't give immunization to someone under 6 months But getting influenza to that six-month-old or four-month-old can be devastating. And Andrea, you know, it's interesting. She was so afraid of it. One year she went to Scotland just so she would get a flu shot.
I did. And I said that, too. Remember, I was leaving that day, and I said, well, I can't get a flu shot. I'm flying. Doc, most
what does that mean?
Doc said, Doc, in a very sweet, kind way, because of the wonderful man he is, mm-hmm. gave me a lecture and said, get over here. Get your flu shot.
Get your flu shot.
Yeah.
Doc, can you hold on a second? We're going to check traffic, and we're going to talk about overeating and caloric intake around Thanksgiving, okay?
You got it.
All right. Dr. Kevin Most on the line with us on 720 WGN. He's brought to you by Northwestern Medicine. Let's talk about Thanksgiving. I come from a long line of overeaters in the McMurray family. I see food, especially my mom. I'm Lebanese, so my mom makes traditional Lebanese food, and we have the traditional, of course, the turkey and the stuffing, Doc.
Wow. That sounds like a great meal.
It's so good, but I overeat every Thanksgiving. And I tried the, hey, I'm going to eat before I eat thing.
Yep.
Have you guys tried that?
Well,
I'm going to eat before I eat. I'm going to eat all day long. It doesn't work. You continue to overeat.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to watch calories, don't we?
We do, Pete. You know, especially, you know, and I don't want to take anything away from the meal because it is the foundation for a lot of big family gatherings. But we have a lot to be thankful for. So let's kind of consider our bodies as well as one of those things. And we do overeat. So if you think about the normal individual, I'll give you myself. I'm 6 foot. I weigh 180 pounds. I need about 2,500 calories a day. Any guess what a normal Thanksgiving meal is? Just the meal itself, just the plate?
It's got to be double.
3,000.
It does. It's 3,000.
Is it
3,000 in a plate?
Plus.
Yeah, but isn't that with gravy and all that?
You got to have gravy.
You have to have gravy.
With the marshmallow.
I don't do gravy.
You got to do gravy on the turkey.
Mary Vandeville doesn't do gravy.
No.
What?
I love gravy.
It's very fattening.
Come on, Mary.
Well, I don't think Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's not the time to cut, though.
I know, but I'm really not a gravy person anyway.
Doc, what's the worst on the plate?
Probably the gravy. Yep. I mean, the things that are going to have fat in them, and a lot of people who make gravy, they're going to use the turkey fat to make the gravy. So that's one of them. And we just start to put good thing or bad things on good food. I think Andrea just mentioned it, you know, sweet potatoes,
right.
Probably one of the healthiest foods we possibly could eat. High in vitamin A, high in vitamin B, high in vitamin C, high in fiber. What do? We put brown sugar on it and marshmallows.
Right. Which is my favorite way to eat it. I like it, especially when they're whipped.
Thank God I don't like sweet potatoes.
What about butter?
You add butter, brown sugar, and marshmallow.
Yeah.
Sorry, Doc. It's just for the day.
No, yeah, absolutely, and I don't want to take anything away because it is a great meal. But I think if everybody eats in moderation, then you can really get your plate down to where you still have a decent plate. But I'm going to tell you, even that decent plate is going to be 2,000 calories.
Jeez. One plate, 2,000 calories. That's crazy. Boy, you're really ruining Thanksgiving for us, Doc.
And I don't want to.
How about pumpkin pie? I always heard pumpkin pie is not that high in calories.
Correct. Pumpkin pie is not bad if you just eat the pumpkin pie and you eat a decent sized slice of it. Now, if you're going to have whipped cream.
Well, you got to have whipped cream.
Sometimes we drizzle caramel on the top of the whipped cream.
Yeah. Yep. But, you know, out of all the pies, that's definitely the best. I mean, if you look at pecan pie, super high in calories. If you look at apple pie, super high in calories. So pumpkin pie is the healthiest of it. If you can just eat the pumpkin pie. If you put everything else on it, you can have any one of those pies. They're all the same, about 500 calories for a slice.
I'm going to go to Costco and buy the pumpkin pies that's the size of your hubcap on your car.
Yeah.
And I could eat the whole thing in one sitting.
It is pretty good.
But it's so good.
Yeah.
And the crust is really good, too.
Wow.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So the pumpkin pie, everything's in moderation. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, everything's in moderation, and some of the prep you can do is a little bit different. People love green bean casserole at this time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's made with, you know, the soup, a mushroom soup often, and then sour cream. Well, use yogurt and put some other seasonings on it. You still get the same green bean casserole, except your calories are way down. And for turkey lovers, just avoid the skin. Turkey meat itself, high in protein, high in tryptophan. The fat is all in the skin.
God, it's so good, though. I mean, one it time is. A year you eat the skin.
And then you got the deep-fried turkey, which is just another story.
Yeah, tell me about the deep-fried turkey. Is that bad if you take the skin off?
No, you know what? It's not. I mean, it's obviously it's going to have a little bit more fat in it, but as far as calories, it's going to be, you know, the meat itself is going to be the same. You're just going to have some of the fat from it. So it's probably not as healthy as the baked without the skin, but it's not going to make a huge difference.
What about the fat-free whipped cream, if you do that with the pumpkin pie?
Yep. That's, you know, the
calories. Gotta cut corners somewhere.
For taste.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, the person who wants that overflowing plate, then prepare the food the right way. For those of you who say, you know what, I want everything with the fat and all that, that's okay. Just eat in moderation.
I have a leftover question for you, Doc. All right, leftovers, one of my favorite parts of Thanksgiving. The next day you have turkey sandwiches. Yep. I like the sweet potatoes. What is the length at which, you know, I mean, I could probably stretch it for a week, which you're not supposed to do, but what is the shelf life for the leftovers of a Thanksgiving meal?
Yeah, well, it really depends on which it is. But if you're talking turkey, think about it. Turkey that has been well-cooked, well-prepared, it's the same as lunch meats, which will hold for a week, will hold for 10 days. So that's not a bad problem
at
all.
Great. Okay.
Yeah. That's good.
So, I mean, that is really nice. Make that. The things that I'd be more concerned about are the cream-based things. So anything that has milk and dairy products in it, that I would keep a shelf life of just a couple of days. It's really not worth getting sick over some of that stuff.
What about the stuffing? That's my favorite. How long will that last?
Stuffing's pretty good. Actually, stuffing, and I'll tell you what a lot of people do with stuffing is they freeze it and then take it out later. But stuffing, as long as you don't put raw eggs into it, or as long as you make sure that it's cooked really well, stuffing is going to last for a week easily without any problem.
God, I can't wait to eat on Thanksgiving. I am starving. Dr. Kevin Most, Doc, great to talk to you.
Pete, take care. Hope your healing goes well, and we'll see you soon.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, buddy.
And Dr. Kevin Most is powered by Northwestern Medicine.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own.
You are listening to station WGN.
720 WGN, it's 7:11. Pete McMurray in for Steve. He's out all week, Thanksgiving week. What if I said, forget about making Thanksgiving dinner. Relax. I got a guy that can do it. It's called Barbecue Productions. The owner chef joins us in studio. Let me turn on your microphone over here, Chris. Chris Schoenberger. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you guys?
So were you a cop turned cook?
Yes. Yeah,
is that what happened?
I used to work for the police department in the northern suburbs.
Okay.
And I was a community service officer for 2 years. And during the economy crunch, four of us lost our jobs. And I decided to take my pension and withdraw it and start my business.
How'd you come up with this idea? It's fantastic.
Started because I was just cooking parties on the weekends at my house, and I had some friends that were like, hey, you're really good at this. You want to cook for our wedding? And I never turned down a challenge, so I started the cooking mobile, going to people's houses, going to parties, and just cooking in your backyards, and that's how Barbecue Productions was formed. And then it just kind of transformed overnight.
So if people don't want to cook on Thanksgiving, you will bring everything over, including the booze, the turkey, the stuffing, everything.
We have packages available for everything. So all the way down from, even if you don't want traditional turkey, if you want a brisket or chicken or ham or anything else you can think of, we have pretty much everything you can possibly think of, and we deliver as well.
Love it. How long is the prep? I mean, because I know a lot of people... Well, you have to take the turkey out, 3 days in advance to defrost it, or 3-4 days to completely defrost it?
Correct, yes.
What about the prep? I know a lot of people like to do things, or how early do you make the food? Because, I mean, that's a big meal, and you're doing it for a lot of people.
Yeah, so this Thursday we have 160 orders going out of Thanksgiving meals. We started on Friday getting everything prepped. So if you can imagine trying to thaw and brine 160 turkeys, they don't really make containers for that. So what we actually
did
is we went and got 55-gallon drums, and then we lined them with plastic, sanitized them, and then we filled up the 55-gallon drums with the turkeys, and then we threw all of our brine mixture in there. And if you walk into our walk-in cooler, all you see is these 55-gallon drums everywhere with turkeys in them.
Smart, though. That's a great idea.
Got to be resourceful.
Wow. What do people want? What do they ask you for?
So, believe it or not, turkey is up right now. I mean, everyone's going for turkey. My personal favorite is I like the turkey breast that doesn't have the bones in it. But we smoke our turkeys in a cook shack smoker. So it's fired by pellets. They're compressed pellets, 100% wood pellets. And then we use a little bit of cherry, a little bit of hickory, And then we smoked the turkeys for about 4.5 to 5 hours with 100% smoke.
Oh, my God.
So what happens is when you bring the temperature up at a low temperature, we cook at 209 degrees. So okay. Most people, when they cook in their ovens, they're cooking at 350, 400 degrees. So we bring it up at a slow temperature, which helps keep the moisture in instead of the moisture going all out.
With stays, the white meat, sure.
Stays inside the bird.
It's like a slow roast.
Yeah, it's very slow.
I've never had smoked turkey. I've had deep fried turkey.
Yeah, I had that for the first time.
It's so good.
Fried turkey's good. Once you have smoked turkey, I think you'll change your mind. It literally tastes like you're eating lunch meat.
Man, it's that's that fantastic.
Is it easy to prepare?
It's a lot of work, but luckily I have great staff. Matt, the gentleman who came up here with me today, he's been working around the clock with us. We were there till 1 o'clock in the morning prepping, and we were back at 3:30 again this morning prepping again.
I feel like Thanksgiving would be your busiest time, maybe Super Bowl and around the 4th of July.
Yeah, actually, our busiest holiday of all time is Christmas. Second one is Thanksgiving, and the third one is New Year's.
Christmas?
Oh, yes.
New Year's, yeah. What are people ordering for Christmas?
Everything. You'd be surprised how many people eat brisket. Last year, Christmas time, we did over 3,000 pounds of brisket.
Wow.
How about ham, too? Is ham a big...
Ham actually is not... Ham is what's very popular for people that when they cook at home.
Ah, okay.
So when they order out from a place like us, they go for non-traditional stuff. Brisket's been number one. Pork's number two, and actually turkey's number three.
Love brisket. The baked ham bums me out.
Yeah.
I grew up with that. Every Christmas, my dad, put the baked ham in. It's yep. Like, I don't want baked ham.
No.
So we try to take everything that we do and kind of do something extraordinary with it. So we'll take bacon and wrap it around the ham, or we'll take bacon and wrap it around a turkey tenderloin.
Well, of course, it's going to taste great, yeah. Chris.
Everything with bacon.
You're wrapping it in bacon.
Yeah. So we also like to try to glaze it. So we'll put our rub on the outside of it and then glaze it with our maple chipotle barbecue sauce, and then we'll torch it with our torch. And what happens is the sugars and the brown sugar caramelizes.
That just sounds fantastic.
So yeah, we try to do some stuff that's super fun with it.
Chris Schoenberger, Barbecue Productions, WeGrillItAll.com is your website. Now, where are you guys located? You're in Third Lake.
Yeah, Third Lake. So we're a little town just east of Gurnee, right off the tri-state, right by Great America. So we've been there 3 years, and we just completed our fourth expansion.
All right, I'm going to take a look at traffic, and you're doing something for first responders and active duty and veterans.
Correct.
For Thanksgiving, and we'll talk about that in a second. It is 720 right now. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran in studio with us. It's called Barbecue Productions. They will cook everything for Thanksgiving dinner if you want to have a party on. You're open every single holiday, Chris. Is that right?
Yeah, so we only close on Christmas. Right now we have probably close to 35 reservations for Thanksgiving Day.
So you said that people order for Christmas. You're closed on Christmas, but you still deliver on Christmas.
Yeah, so if somebody actually wants food on Christmas, like last year we had 9 or 10 orders on Christmas. I actually went in and worked all day on Christmas Day.
WeGrillItAll.com. Now, what are you doing for first responders and vets and active duty?
Yep, so we got a couple things going. So Jason McKee is a former Chicago Bear football player.
Absolutely. Know Jason well.
Yeah, Jason, great guy. Really good guest of ours at our restaurant. So he has an event going on in his gym on that day where he's feeding military and active retired military. You can go to jasonmckee.com to sign up for that and to find out information about it. We're actually providing all the meals for that. So Jason's got all the military guys coming in, and so we're providing all the turkey dinners, the stuffing, mashed potatoes,
that's
the gravy,
great.
Cranberry sauce. So we're doing that with Jason. And second thing is, obviously, since my background, I used to work for the police department, is that we had a collection box at our restaurant, and we raised a couple $100. We're going to provide Thanksgiving meals for all the local police departments up in the northern suburbs where we're located at. So we're going to bring turkey and some brisket as well, because we're known for our brisket, mashed potatoes, gravy, stuffing, cranberry sauce. You name it, we're going to bring it all out to them, so that way the guys that are working the streets on Thanksgiving, they can still enjoy a little bit of Thanksgiving meals, even though they're not with their families.
Chris, people can text us at 312-981-7200. Got a texter from 847 area code after the Grays Lake tornadoes. They said that you did big things out there. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, it was... I don't feel like I did anything special, but everyone keeps mentioning it, and I just feel that's we did what any business owner should do. But last year, the tornado ripped through Wildwood and Grays Lake, and within an hour of the tornado going through, we had guests in our restaurant, so we got everyone safe, took shelter. As soon as the tornado passed, we could see where the damage was. I mean, it was literally right outside our window. So we took all of our mobile units. We had 4 mobile units. We instantly filled them all up with water, Gatorades, protein bars, snacks, and we went out and started feeding all the combat guys, NICOR guys, the fire, the police. And then the next day, about 7 o'clock in the morning, we found a street corner, and we just set up where the nastiest area was hit, and we fed everybody for 4 days. We did about 8,000 meals in 4 days.
Good for you, man.
So we just,
that's,
you know,
really great stuff.
For us, we just feel it's, you know, the right thing to do. The guests in our community have made my dream a reality with my restaurant. And so, you know, I feel that it's a good thing to take care of the people that are taking care of us.
A lot of people don't do that.
And that's the sad part. They should.
Good for you. 815 area code. What is your brine recipe?
So brine's pretty simple for us. We actually like to use our rub in our brine because obviously we're a barbecue restaurant. So we use 4 gallons of water to a cup of brown sugar, a cup of salt. We got kosher salt, and then we mix in whatever extra spice and seasoning. So on ours, we use rosemary, we use thyme, and then we used 2 cups of our rub. You can use any type of rub out there. I know Sam's Club sells some really nice rubs. You can use anything from there. And just let it sit. The longer it sits, the better. So we like to let it sit for 48 hours. It just kind of really gets into that meat and massages it. And then as soon as you pull it out of
that
brine.
We're all hungry now, aren't we?
The best thing to do with your turkey is to pat it dry. And then to put your seasoning and spices on it, and then go ahead and start cooking it.
How do you keep mashed potatoes moist?
So, lots of butter.
Tons of butter. You can never have enough butter.
So, lots of butter. So, it's actually a recipe that my mom gave me before she had passed. But it was 50% butter and then 50% milk. But I ended up putting a little bit more milk into the butter, butter than milk, because the butter obviously tastes
more butter.
Good. Yeah. And then the key ingredient that we use is onion salt and garlic salt.
Was your mom a great cook? Is that why you went into cooking?
So mom was a great cook. Actually, I had no restaurant experience. She's the one who gave me the idea to open my restaurant. I had the mobile catering company. It was going really, really well. And she's like, hey, why don't you open up a restaurant? And I was like, you're crazy. And I was like, she's like, well, I'll help you. And I was like, what experience you got? Well, I used to run a cafeteria, and I'm like, that's a big difference. Yeah. So she helped me out. She got to the first night we opened the restaurant, and then she passed away that night. It's been the hardest thing I ever went through in my life, but she did exactly what she said she was going to do, and she helped me get to my first day, and
that's great.
She gave me the reins to go.
708 area code. Is it a big truck? How do you keep the food warm?
So we have actually oven trucks. So the truck that we brought down here today, on the back of it, it actually has an oven on it as well as a refrigerator. So it's a big box truck. And on the inside of it, so like, for example, I can keep anything up to 200 degrees on the one side, and I can keep anything down to 0 degrees on the other side. So when we do our deliveries, we bring in hot tea. I mean, we're pulling it off with oven mitts.
So were you cooking on the way down?
No. Okay. No, it's all cooked, but we keep it.
I mean, that's my visual. He's working in this small little kitchen in the back of the truck.
But we do pig roast, and the funny thing is when we do our pig roast, we start the pig roast at the restaurant. Well, then we finish it at your events. Like, we do weddings all the time with pig roast. So we'll be pulling our smoker behind our truck, and the smoke's coming out. You can see the smoke coming out of the trailer, and the smells are going by all the cars behind us.
Oh, jeez.
You're so, like the Pied Piper. The car started following him down the road.
Where's he going?
Yeah, we actually had one guy last year who called into the police and said that our trailer was on fire. And when they gave him the plate number, they said, no, that's the barbecue guy. He's going to go probably do a wedding.
I'm getting so many text messages how you're such a good guy. A lot of people know you in the Northern Burbs. The Northern Burbs.
Northern Suburbs.
Yeah.
Yeah, we try
so
to
good for you.
Try to do some good things.
So people can actually go into the restaurant, too.
Yeah, so we're open on Thanksgiving. We're open 9 to 4. We're serving traditional-style Thanksgiving meals as well as non-traditional. So they'll have our regular menu. We do a lot of unique and fun things on our menu. So we do things that's not different. We have a mega Bloody Mary that we're doing all day. It's got a full barbecue meal on top of it. So it's got brisket sandwich, sliders, deep-fried pizza.
Deep-fried pizza and a Bloody Mary?
Yeah, so it was my first...
Outstanding.
First recipe I ever made, and my mom was making egg rolls one day, and I was like, I don't like egg rolls, but I like pizza. So we ground up a pizza and put it inside, and it's been one of our top sellers.
Hold on, I'm putting Chris on speed dial right now.
Chris Schoenberger, it's called Barbecue Productions. You can go to wegrillitall.com. Thanks for coming in, man.
No problem, guys. Thank you.
And you're doing good work out there, okay?
Thanks. Happy Thanksgiving.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
This, to me, kind of sums up where the Bears are and what their thought process is, folks. Try to score a touchdown. Try to win a football game. And yet, what do you guys do? You punt the damn football.
Well, here's
I ain't done yet.
720 WGN.
720 WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. That was OB, man. He gets worked up. On the phone with us, Hall of Famer Dan Hampton. Hamp, how you doing, bud?
Hey, good morning, Pete, and pleasure to talk to you. Yeah, you're right. When OB's not done, don't cut in.
Last place in the NFC North at 2-8. I don't have a problem with yesterday's game because I don't want them to win any more games. I want a high draft pick. There's no reason to win.
Well, You know, and I understand a lot of people have that type of an attitude. And okay, you know, I guess at the end of the day, there's more benefit, you know, along your path. But I'm kind of old school, conventional, and I think anytime you put your hat out on the field, you want to win. And you try to find ways to win, and you try to summons something that, you know, that you can be proud of, an effort that, you know, that inspires, and all those goofy things that you kind of believe in and read about. And you know what? And that's, you know, I understand that, you know, the draft pick ultimately is a good thing. But guess what? We've got two, you know, we've had two top seven picks the last 2 years, and that hadn't really changed our fortunes yet. So I think we still got a lot of work to do on the field.
Andy's shaking his head right now.
Yeah, man. I'm with you, Hamp. I mean, you know, and it's so much harder, I would think, to quote-unquote rebuild in the NFL as opposed to what the Cubs try to do in Major League Baseball, because you have time. You don't have time in the NFL, do you?
It's different. And you know, ultimately, the NFL is a very fluid type thing because you have the – you know, I understand there's injury in baseball, but it's not the same. In football, you know, obviously you've got 22 starters. You know, it's, you know, well over twice as many, you know, moving parts, players that you have to account for and concern yourself with. And, you know, ultimately there's a lot more cohesiveness that you have to develop. And – okay, for instance, the offensive line yesterday. And the offensive line has been a critical point of concern all year because of, you know, it's been a, you know, revolving door. Kyle Long's in, he's out. Sitton's in, he's out. And, well, yesterday, despite the fact that both of the guards, you know, Long didn't play and Sitton left the game, the chronic problem was at right tackle. Well, but Bobby Massey has struggled this year, but not anything as bad as what his replacement, Mike Adams, did yesterday. I mean, Jay Cutler, as bad as he was in Tampa, he gave you a great effort, a great chance to win yesterday. But no quarterback can win when you're getting batted around like that. And it was just, you know, like I said, you know, there's so many moving parts and different pieces to the puzzle. It's hard to say, oh, well, we're just going to try to lose every game, and we get one draft pick next year, it's going to change our fortunes. It's a lot of guys that have to change.
Hamp, is John Fox done? I feel like he quit on the team. I feel like he's had enough.
Well, I look at it differently. I think John Fox did a huge disservice to not only himself but the team by not preparing them properly this year. You know, so many games, you know, yesterday was a winnable game. A winnable game. And, you know, we had the ball. We could drive. If we would have scored, we would have won the game. If, you know, touchdown, extra point, wins the game. But we were incapable of putting together a sustained drive because we don't do enough of the little things correctly. The little things that you have to really, what would you call it, drill and practice and perfect in August, and then through the preseason, and then when you get into the regular season games, when it is crunch time, like at the end of the first half, where we had the ball with a chance to put the dagger in the Giants. They wanted to quit. They weren't ready to play, but we let them. We gave them, you know, life support and let them dodge the bullet because we squandered an opportunity at the end of the first half on the last drive of the game. We squandered an opportunity with penalties and mistakes and drops. So all those things you can trace back to the fact that John Fox, the head coach, is in charge of organizing the preparation through preseason, OTAs and into training camp. And you know what? At no time during the course of this season, except one time, and that was the Monday Nighter where we won against Minnesota,
right,
did this team look like it was prepared to play in the NFL. One time out of 10. That, and you say you think, you know, he's quit on the team. I just think he never even got the team ready.
So he's done. We should get rid of him. Time to move on.
I've been beating the drum for 2 weeks. I said, you know, for instance, yesterday, the Giants made some corrections and adjustments on defense. Our first three possessions, we score. From then on, we don't, because they put eight in the box, they start doing some blitzing, and they start forcing Cutler to check it down. Well, Jordan Howard is a very good running back, but he can't catch the ball. And so in a situation you've got to get Langford in there and allow your offense to continue to run, even if you have to do something different. If you got to play left-handed, well, nobody made a change. Jordan Howard dropped. I think he was targeted eight times, got one catch. Yep. And a critical four drops in the second half that would have kept drives going. Well, those are the things that you've got to be able to do. We weren't able to do it.
All right, a lot to digest, but I kind of want to ask you about the fact that if they're not prepared, you've got a first-year play caller in Dowell Loggins. How does that affect him? Because it seems like, as you're pointing out, they kind of abandon what's working for them just because the other team makes an adjustment.
That's bad coaching.
Think of it like this. An offense is like water. They'll find the path of least resistance. And if you got eight in the box, they'll want to throw. They don't want to move eight guys. They'll rather go over. Well, when we have to make adjustments, well, we have to be essentially prepared to make those adjustments and continue to be successful. Well, if you can't run, they got eight in the box and they're blitz. Okay, now we got to do what I would call like a check down passing game and short intermediate pass, all those things. Well, unfortunately, we were incapable of making any of those things work because the last eight drives, the last eight possessions that the Bears had in that football game resulted in 0 points. So, all in all, you've got to be able to play left-handed as well as right-handed. And everybody, hey, if nobody's going to make corrections and you keep, calculating and stampeding people running the ball, that's great. And Jordan Howard has been terrific this year on occasion. But all too many times, by design, we think, oh, we got to be clever now, and we forget about the run, we leave the run, and do something else and not do it as well. Well, yesterday, we didn't have a choice. They put eight in the box. We had to do something else. We could not do it.
Hamp, where are you watching the games? Give me the visual, because when we did the post-game show together here at WGN, 2.5 Bears, we used to watch upstairs, and you used to get furious. There was one point where you threw something at the TV, and it went off. I thought you broke it, but it didn't. But where do you watch the games? Are you and OB together? Are you at home and then drive over? Where are you?
No. We meet up before the kickoff. They're in the same room.
Okay.
And, the chair that you used to sit in,
yes.
We taped it up. In lieu
retired?
That you're not there. We
Thank
just
you.
Taped the chair up. Now.
I appreciate that. Yes. We're talking with Hall of Famer Dan Hampton. Hamp, hold on for a second.
Come on, don't get the costume smoky. I got to wear this on Thanksgiving.
It's back-to-back road games, and there's no way the Bears can do it. 49ers for the win.
It's the Bears at the Giants.
What? So do I have to do that again, or can we just tape that tape? Okay, fine. Here we go. Bears lose, Giants win. Now move on with your part. That's it. Come on. Hampton's got to go and promote something. Brought to you by Miller Lite.
Guys, I'm thinking the Bears. Happy Thanksgiving. Let me know if you want to borrow this hat, Hampton.
I love your pick, Pete. And I think Dan is going to break Irv in two like a wishbone. Irv the Gypsy.
720 WGN, 751, every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on Fox Kickoff Sunday. Hamp and Lou throw it to me. I'm with Irv the Gypsy. And Hamp, I feel like Irv's been mocking you the last few weeks.
I just wonder, how it feels. We only have to deal with turkeys 1 week a year. You've got to do it a single week on Fox.
He's 7-3, right? He's won seven games this year.
Hey, here's a shocker. He's taking the opponent every time, almost.
And I've been taking the Bears.
All I can tell you is this has been, we all know, a bizarre year. The Packers have lost five straight?
Yeah.
Go figure that. You got the best quarterback on the planet in a lot of people's estimation, and you lose five straight. So you explain that to me.
Who would have thought Detroit would be in first place? Nobody.
Nobody, and again, like I said, it's 2016. This thing's upside down, and that's what is so. And the thing that is such, we opened our conversation about the fact that you want to take a dive and not win another game. If we would have been better prepared and motivated and played better, and beat Tampa Bay last week, which was an eminently beatable opponent, we're in this thing. And, of course, you know, maybe that then you play better and you build on what you were able to do in Tampa and you're able to sustain a drive at the end of the first half or the second half for a touchdown, you would have beat the Giants. Now, guess what? You're 4-6 and you're in it. So, like I said, you never know what's going to happen. You got to play to win. And ultimately, we are not prepared physically, mentally, emotionally, in any capacity to play to win other than, like I said, that one night against the Minnesota Vikings. The Detroit game, hey, we're lucky we got out of there with the win.
How about the Dallas Cowboys this season?
Okay, and there's a lot. Okay, Ezekiel Elliott, he's a fine back, great back, and you know he's going to be in this league for a decade. But the fact that that team has come together behind this kid, he was a fourth round pick, and everybody's saying, "Oh, we hate Cutler, get rid of Cutler." And I'm like, "Okay, we've seen him for now at what 8-9 years."
Yeah,
get it. Everybody's got you know. What would you call it? A history with him. We've got a belly full of him,
right.
And we don't like seeing the interceptions. And I got it. Okay, who are you going to get? Tell me who you're going to get. And so, you know, nobody's got a real good plan B. Oh well, what about this? What about that? Yeah, Jimmy Clausen's on the radio now.
I saw him on TV on Saturday. Yeah.
Anybody would think, oh well, they're capable. Well, guess what? Dallas, due to the fact that Tony Romo has been brittle and injury-prone the last 3 years, they draft this kid in the fourth round after the Bears have selected three other players in that round. The Cowboys draft Dak Prescott, and he has done nothing but be a winner. And they've won 9 straight, and the opener they lost by 1 point. I've been around the league a long time. I've never seen anything quite like this.
Yeah, that's the thing that frustrates me as a fan, I think, is more the fact that it doesn't seem like there's a good plan in place because everybody's been talking about Cutler going away and that all the guaranteed money has been paid and it's easier to get rid of him. But like you say, what is the plan B and why hasn't there been a quarterback drafted?
Well, you tell me, All in all, I've got a lot of issues with the coach, John Fox. But Ryan Pace has done quite a bit of – hey, anybody miss Robbie Gould after watching that yesterday?
No.
I mean, he's done a lot of pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you got to have a quarterback. This is a quarterback-driven league. Now, we all know that. We don't have anything. Barkley, he is at best a backup. And we know that Brian Hoyer was semi, successful going up and down the field, couldn't score points. We're still, I think, last in the league scoring points in the NFL. But ultimately, it's about finding that quarterback you can build around. But let's go back to Dallas. Their defense, Sean Lee is a pretty good player, and Skandrick is a pretty good secondary member. Other than that, they don't have anybody on their defense that really, I think, could start. I don't think either one of those guys, maybe Skandrick could, but, why is that defense playing so great now? Because they're playing in a winning fashion. The offense gives them a lead. Then they don't have to play the run. Now they can scoot around and get after the quarterback. They've been better at it. They've been more successful at it, and they find a way to win. And the offensive line they have has been the core, the keystone of the success this year. But ultimately, it's a little, a little means a lot in the NFL. And when you start finding ways to win, things get clearer and simpler. When you lose, everything is basically chaos. And that's why, right now everybody's screaming, oh, like Pete, hey, let's lose, get a better draft pick. Well, that's not necessarily the answer. The answer is out there. You just got to go out there and beat it out of the ground.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
Family. And, I got to tell you, it's a fantastic time of year. I always think back to my early days of Thanksgiving, getting my nose broke by Walter Payton on Thanksgiving Day over in Detroit. So I don't have to put up with that any longer. So I've got that to be thankful for.
How many turkeys do you have? Because little Dan isn't little. How big is little Dan now?
He just got his physical for basketball. He's 5'10", 2'10", and he'll probably be in the game of football next year at Hinsdale South. So you're right. I need to get that second and third turkey now that I let you jog my memory. He's going to be needing it.
He'll always be your little Dan. Or at least Genus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, ultimately, you know, it is the official kickoff to Christmas this Thursday, so he's all excited about that.
Oh, yeah. Hamp, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and we'll talk soon.
You know what, Pete? It's a pleasure, and thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving to each and every one of all of our listeners out there. Thank you for having me on this morning. And one last thing. Cochran hates it when you play with the knobs, so don't mess up anything.
You got it, buddy. Take care.
Take care, babe.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
720 WGN, it's 8:12. The 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Wintrust Community Banks. Let's talk to our old buddy Dean Richards from WGN. Dean!
Happy Monday.
Yeah, man, it's a short week.
It is. It is. Are you cooking?
We had food brought in from Barbecue Productions. They cater Thanksgiving, any event, and
so
they
good.
Dropped off a lot of food.
Dean, do you want my official food review?
Sure.
Oh, yummy.
Are you still talking about the food now?
Yeah. Or is it, well, a little bit, yeah.
I need a nap.
Dean, we were talking earlier.
Hello, the pool boy is here. Oh, Thanksgiving dinner. May I come in?
Why would you spend $500 to $750 on a Hamilton ticket just to be thrown out?
Yeah, that's a little nuts, I guess. Unless it's worth $500 to you to make a political statement, which I guess is what this guy in Chicago thought he was doing when he went to Saturday night's performance at the Private Bank Theater. Goes to the theater, and then during one of the songs, there's a song that is about the immigrants. I mean, you know, the Hamilton musical is about founding of our country, you know, setting up the basic principles of America, immigrants, you know, coming to America, you know, and what the country is about. During one of the songs, which is about immigrants, a guy named John Palmer, according to DNA Chicago, stands up in his chair and starts screaming that all those who did not vote for Trump, we won, you lost, we won, you lost. If you didn't vote for Trump, blank you. Screaming, you know, during the performance, stopping the show. The man was physically removed from the theater. Later on, it is reported that he was arrested as well for criminal trespass, misdemeanor charge. But back to, you know, to Pete's point, this is one of the hardest tickets in town to get.
Right. You How know, did he get a ticket?
The irony is that it goes against everything that the musical is even about. Dean, the night that I saw it, I think you saw it, we saw it the same night, was the night of the final presidential debate. And I went home and watched it, you know, obviously, the debate.
It was ironic, wasn't
it? It was completely ironic. Yeah. I thought of you immediately, and I thought everyone, Trump, Clinton, everybody in office should see Hamilton.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you know, it's not only a wonderful musical, but it just shows what
it's
everybody
about,
went through.
It's a, well, and it's about, you know, during the discourse of the election, this kind of refocused what America is supposed to be about,
right,
what
exactly.
The founding fathers intended America to be about. That's really, to me, the biggest irony of the whole thing. But mm-hmm. This guy had a problem with it. You know, I'm not sure I would have spent $500 for a ticket to do it. I guess he probably would have gotten about as much media attention and not gotten arrested had he staged his protest outside the theater instead of inside the theater. But,
right.
But that's what he decided to do. And also maybe it was a reaction to what happened in New York the night before, the Broadway production of Hamilton,
at which Vice President-elect Mike Pence was in attendance. As the Vice President-elect was entering the theater, he was booed. You know, politicians go just about anywhere, and they get booed.
Right. Everywhere.
Can we recall some of the sports rallies that we've had in Grant Park when the politicians, know, think they're going to jump on a Blackhawks bandwagon or a Bulls bandwagon or one of the bandwagons? Wisely, they did not get up during the Cubs rally because they always get booed. It always happens. And you know, again, the divisive nature of this campaign. The vice president-elect shows up, and he gets booed. The performance went on. After the final curtain call takes place, an actor named Brandon Victor Dixon, who ironically plays the vice president, Aaron Burr, in the show, says, you know, we have a special guest in the audience tonight. You know, please, they ask them, everybody, please stop booing. There's no need for booing. You know, we just would like to say to Mike Pence that the diverse cast was alarmed and anxious that this new administration would not protect them, and they hoped that the play would inspire them to protect all Americans equally. That's basically the gist of what they said.
Okay.
The next day on Fox, the vice president-elect said he was not offended. All my Twitter feed is how offended people are, and they should get their money back. They went to see a play, not a political speech. You know, again, in context with what this play is about, it kind of makes sense. But, I mean, you can all argue whether it was an appropriate thing to say in a public place to the vice president-elect or not. You can all decide that for yourself. But the vice president-elect himself said he was not offended. In fact, he said he loved the show. And that Donald Trump will be a president for all the people. And what I find the most interesting comment of all that he made, as he was being showered with boos, he was there with his family, which can't be pleasant when you're with your family.
No.
And you're getting booed. I got to think that's not right.
Honey, I got a Hamilton tickets. Oh, jeez.
Right.
Here we go.
And here's the other question. How did he get Hamilton tickets?
Right.
He's got a guy.
They're even harder to get in New York.
He's got a guy.
But anyway, this is what he says to his family. You hear that? Talking about the boos. That's what freedom sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
That's profound.
Right.
And that's totally high road, I think. You know, and what... And so different from what the president-elect Donald Trump said in one of his three tweets that he sent out over the weekend about this Hamilton incident. The most recent one said that the cast and producers of Hamilton, which I hear is highly overrated, is what he adds, should immediately apologize to Mike Pence for their terrible behavior. Mike Pence has said wasn't offended. Donald Trump is offended. Can all go to your corners and, you know, come out fighting.
Cochran tweeted over the weekend, take Trump's phone away. I thought that was funny.
I'm sure there are a lot of people in his own administration who
no more tweeting.
Probably retweeted that. Be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean
Richards, the entertainment editor. 8:23, more with Dean Richards.
I think we need to know more about all of the WGN hosts' feet.
What do you need to know about feet? I got a guy, Dr. Keith.
I never knew you had footwork done.
Don't we all have footwork?
I've always said you have the feet of a 20-year-old.
Thank you, Dean. I appreciate that.
I didn't know that was because you had work done.
I had a good pedicure last week.
My feet are too ticklish. I can't do pedicures.
You've never been to the man spa?
No, I have not been to the man spa.
There is nothing like a...
a good pedi.
It's life-changing.
This show.
It is.
The show always seems to go south when Dean's on.
The sound that Andrea made with that food, that was me getting a pedicure and a foot massage.
Alec Baldwin is...
Oh, it's nice.
Alec Baldwin...
Oh, I'm the pool guy. I'm here to give Mr. Richards a foot massage.
Dean, what are you doing later? Hey, baby.
Alec Baldwin is Donald Trump on SNL. Yeah, he is killing it.
He's first time as the actual president-elect, and he had... you know, his supporters, you know, Mitt Romney came in. Jason Sudeikis was back as Mitt Romney, and they had a funny moment. And Mike Pence was in the sketch, and they had a funny moment. I thought the funniest moment of Alec Baldwin back as Donald Trump is when he's alone, and he gets on his computer, and this is what happened.
Big plan. Big plan. Google, what is ISIS? Oh my, 59 million results. Siri, how do I kill ISIS?
So that went on. Not everyone thought it was funny, most especially the real Donald Trump, who then sent out a tweet himself saying, I watched parts of Saturday Night Live last night. It's a totally one-sided, biased show. Nothing funny at all. Equal time for us. So we'll see if
he's you want to think that he knows what he's doing by sending out a tweet, because people will talk about it all weekend long.
Right.
Or is it just him sitting at home just tweeting?
Well, just so he knows, or apparently he doesn't.
Top of mind.
Equal time applies to before the election.
Yeah, that's not really an issue.
Right.
But mm-hmm. SNL, I mean, imagine what the ratings would be like if he made a cameo. And as they did when they were spoofing Sarah Palin, if the real Donald Trump met up with the Alec Baldwin Donald Trump, what kind of ratings, you know, headline that
huge.
Would be?
Huge. It would be huge.
It would be huge.
Huge.
It would be huge. Anyway, Donald Trump was not happy with it all. So,
I was watching the Packer game last night, the AMAs. What happened?
Last night, Ariana Grande got the big prize of the night. She was named Artist of the Year. Comments, anyone? Ariana Grande? I don't get Ariana Grande myself.
Me neither.
I may have aged out of Ariana Grande.
I have an 11-year-old kid. I think she's in a Disney show.
The nominees were Adele, Beyonce, Justin Bieber, Drake, Selena Gomez, Rihanna, 21 Pilots, Carrie Underwood, and The Weeknd. I like almost all of them better than Ariana Grande, but I'm a grouchy old man. What do I know? Zayn Malik, formerly of One Direction, was named a new Artist of the Year. The Video of the Year went to Justin Bieber. He also won Best Male Artist of the Year. Selena Gomez won Best Pop Rock Female Artist of the Year. She actually had a really touching speech. This was her first appearance since August, when she has put herself in sort of a self-imposed hiatus after seeking treatment for depression and anxiety. And she also is dealing with lupus. So she's taken herself out of the public limelight and spoke very eloquently, I thought, about not needing validation from others, like, you know, learning to accept herself for what she is and not worry about what the paparazzi is saying and what the gossip columns and, you know, dopes like me are saying. So I give her a lot of credit. It's, you know, in the personal growth department.
How old is she?
She is 24 years old.
Think about that. 24, dealing with depression at 24.
Right. Yeah, it's a lot of pressure. I mean, she was she was a Disney star, too, and was under the super spotlight at a very early age. Blake Shelton won Best Country Artist of the Year. Carrie Underwood, Best Female Artist of the Year. Florida Georgia Line, Favorite Group of the Year. I think the performances last night, way more. The American Music Awards are fan voting. So if you've got the most active fans, you're probably going to win awards. I thought the performances were way more powerful than the actual awards themselves.
I always forget about the AMAs. I'm a huge fan of the Grammys because it's one big concert on TV.
Right, right.
And that's because we don't know who anybody is. Yeah. I mean, those people hosting, who were they again, Dean?
They were
all under 30.
Gigi Haddad and Jay Farrow.
They came out, I'm like, who?
Who used to be? Oh, you watched, though. Bruno Mars. You know Bruno Mars.
I know Bruno Mars. I loved Bruno Mars.
He opened the show.
He did great.
John Legend performed. Lady Gaga performed.
Yeah, okay. That's three.
Sting did like a medley of some of his greatest hits.
Yeah, it's too late
to see
for
any
me.
More Sting.
He got a crunch. Really?
I don't.
Sting, come on. Come on, everybody.
Give me a pillow. Sting?
Hey, I'm a Police fan, but the solo stuff,
really?
Maybe it's time to pack it up.
Yeah.
That's not in keeping with my vibe of peace and harmony, man.
That sounds like the fifth Beatle.
That doesn't sound like at all like Sting.
And Kanye canceled a concert?
He was...
Here?
Well, no, not here. It was in Los Angeles, you know, at Staples Center. Pretty big deal, the cancer hours before the show was supposed to take place. And the night before, he was performing in Sacramento. He did three songs and then goes off on a rant about Beyonce and about Hillary Clinton and about Mark Zuckerberg.
Why are we shocked with this guy?
Like this just completely
Why so angry?
All over the place rant, and then he leaves after three songs. He was then scheduled to perform in Los Angeles last night. Nobody knows the exact reason why the show was canceled, but literally hours before it was supposed to take place, he canceled the show. So
I'm shocked.
Lots of fans.
I don't get it. He gives Chicago a bad name. He's just angry. No reason to be angry.
Take a page from Selena Gomez, Kanye. Don't look outwardly
take
for
a
validation.
Sabbatical.
Take a look. Yeah, please. We'll pay for it.
Dean, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, man. Have a good day.
Thank you, buddy.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Sorry, I don't even know where I'm going.
Well, that's the best way to get someplace you've never been.
Boys.
That's a very nice jacket.
Thanks.
Very soft. Huge button flaps, cargo pockets, drawstring waist, deep bi-swing vents in the back, perfect for jumping into a gondola.
How do you know all that?
That's my coat. I'm Jay Peters.
720 WGN. We fell in love with him on Seinfeld as Jay Peterman, and 14 years ago he started hosting the National Dog Show after the parade on NBC. It's John O'Hurley. John, good morning.
How are you?
John, I just hear your voice on Seinfeld, and we all laugh. I mean, for people like us, the older people here, you're known as Jay Peterman from Seinfeld, but I have an 11-year-old, and he looks forward to the dog show. He doesn't know anything about Seinfeld. He knows you as the announcer for the dogs.
Oh, that's funny.
I mean, that's so true. How did you get chosen for this 14 years ago? Did you think, okay, I can introduce some dogs?
Well, actually, it's our 15th year, actually.
15th year. Sorry about that.
As they say, this is our crystal anniversary.
15 years ago.
15 years ago, the head of NBC Sports took home a copy of Best in Show, the movie. Watched it over the weekend and came in Monday morning, and I said, I know what we're going to do with that two-hour slot in between the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade and football. We're going to do a dog show. And they about laughed him out of the office. But then, by that afternoon, he had secured the Kennel Club of Philadelphia as the National Dog Show, branded it. Talked to Purina as they talked to them into being the presenting sponsor. And then Tuesday morning, picked up the phone, called me in L.A., and I answered the phone, and I heard woof, woof, and that was it.
And you said yes right away.
You know, he had to talk me into it because I go, you got to be kidding me, a dog show? You know, I knew nothing about dog shows, but I'll tell you, one of the happiest things I've ever done, and 15 years later, we have the most watched television show on NBC all year long. 26 million people watch it, and I'm so proud of the way the show has grown and evolved and the fact that we have become such a family tradition in the States.
It's so funny because you wake up on Thanksgiving, you do some things, you watch a little bit of the parade, and then the dog show comes on, and there you are, you and your voice.
Well, it is, and it's not only a tradition here on Thanksgiving Day, but it has become an international success as well. It shows everywhere in the world, as Seinfeld does, but the dog show has become extraordinarily popular and one of the most prestigious titles that a dog can win all year long.
Are you a dog guy? Do you have a dog?
I have two dogs, actually. I have a Havanese, and I have a little Cavalier King Charles. So the two of them, Sadie and Lucy, are at home right now.
I have a dog, Wrigley. He's a lab mix, and oh. I feel like he is treated better than me at the house.
Well, I'm home so rarely because I live on the road, unfortunately, so much that my dogs treat me like an intruder.
Does everybody have dogs here? Andrea, you used to have a dog.
Have a pup. Yeah, I used to have a Westie, and she passed. She's no longer with us. But every time I pass Paws or one of the Humane Society, I'm this close to always stopping and adopting. I will again at some point.
It's tough when you're single to have a dog.
Yeah.
It is. Andy, you got a pooch.
Well, family dog, yeah. It's a little golden doodle, 5 years old, just celebrated fifth birthday.
That's lovely. Yeah. We always have our dogs in pairs because we find that they are happier that way. The temperament, they take care of each other as well, and it's been help. And it's not that much more maintenance.
I mean, dog owners love to talk about their dogs, don't they?
Well, they do because the dog's really a part of their family, and in many cases, or their children. I know a lot of people that don't have children that do have dogs, and they kind of supplant each other.
So you have two dogs. Where do they sleep?
These are bed dogs. Yeah, they're not big dogs, but they insist on being up on the bed with us.
When did that happen? When dogs started sleeping in beds?
Well, I think they just enjoy being, they're part of the family and they want to be as close to you as they can.
Right. I mean, it happened a month ago. We've had our dog a year and a half. I'm not kidding. He slept on the floor in our bedroom, and suddenly he got into bed. And now he sleeps. I'll wake up in the middle of the night, and he's on my leg. I'm like, Wrigley, you got to move here.
Well, historically, the dogs were bred. There are breeds that were just bred to be feet warmers. back in the 14th, 15th century, people, they would breed dogs to just warm your feet.
He says it in that voice, and I feel like I believe him.
Yes, absolute truth. Yep. In fact, you'll find there are several breeds that are hairless, and they were bred really just to be foot warmers.
John O'Hurley on the phone with us, National Dog Show happening on Thanksgiving Day. Do you find yourself, surfing through the channels, all of a sudden you'll come up on an episode of Seinfeld because it's on 24/7, it seems like, and just stopping and watching?
You know, I do. I never watched it first run because I don't watch what I do. I'm not entertainment to myself. But over the years, I have stopped. I mean, I'll stop and watch because there's something about the show Seinfeld. It has kind of a comfort food kind of feel to it, where you just know you're going to be entertained when you watch it. And even though you've seen the episode, you'll watch it again.
John, which character I should say do you get most recognized for? Because I would think Seinfeld, but yet my goddaughter, who's 4, knows you as King Neptune.
From
SpongeBob, yes, yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
It's true.
And the other one would be Phineas and Ferb. I'm Mayor Doofenshmirtz. the kids know the voices very well.
Yeah.
God, you have such a distinct voice. I mean, I feel like you should leave a message on my phone so when people call, they'll hear John O'Hurley. Yeah. What are you doing for Thanksgiving? I know you got the dog show. What do you do after that?
It's Thanksgiving dinner for us, and we're in New York, and every year we have some friends that own a restaurant, and we pop in there. So it's always been a lot of fun.
The National Dog Show on NBC right after the parade on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, and he will be hosting for his 15th year, John O'Hurley. John, great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you as well.
Thanks, man. Happy Thanksgiving.
To you, too.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show.
I know who you are. Your cruelty reveals everything. You're the Dread Pirate Roberts. Admit it.
With pride. What can I do for you?
You killed my love.
I remember this farm boy of yours, I think. You should bless me for destroying him before he found out what you really are.
I died that day! You can die too, for all I care!
Oh! As you wish.
Oh, my sweet Wesley, what have I done?
720 WGN, The Princess Bride, one of the all-time classics. Great movie.
As you wish. Love it.
I remember seeing that movie and I thought to myself, Andre the Giant? What? How do you cast Andre the Giant in a movie? We're going to talk to Cary Elwes in just a second, who played the prince in The Princess Bride. I love that movie. I mean, that's one of those, we call it Shawshanked. It's one of those movies where you get Shawshanked. Like, yep. If you start watching The Shawshank Redemption, you'll finish the movie.
Yeah, Godfather.
The Princess Bride is like
Princess
that.
Bride,
Godfather,
yep.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm. You stop. It's a remote control dropper.
God, I love it.
Yeah, me too.
Fantastic. And Mandy Patinkin? Oh. Hello. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Pretty good. Uh-huh. Plus, is Carrie Ann Holt? Because he's pretty easy on the eyes. No, he is. I mean, I'm being objective about it.
I mean, Andy, it's tough for you and I
right?
People never say that about us.
Oh, you guys are totally easy on the eyes.
You know, you do realize.
It's been a joy for me.
You do realize,
today.
Too, now you had John O'Hurley on, and now you've got Carrie on, who were both on Seinfeld.
What was Carrie on for?
He was in one episode. He played Deborah Messing's boyfriend.
Deborah Messing's boyfriend.
Because Jerry wanted to date Deborah Messing.
Okay.
On the show. And George walked into to Monk's and said, you could do a lot better than this guy. And she thought about it. And then Carrie got him back in the end.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a Seinfeld tie-in to pretty much everything.
Six Degrees of Seinfeld.
Seinfeld, exactly.
Yeah.
I love Seinfeld.
The show about nothing, which is so powerful.
I didn't even know Deborah Messing was on there.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody was on that show.
Yeah, big time.
Carrie from Desperate Housewives.
Oh, yeah. What's her face?
Oh, yeah.
From Lois and Clark.
Terry Hatcher.
Terry, not Carrie. Yeah. Terry Hatcher was on there. I mean, you can just look at the list of women that were on that show. Mm-hmm. How about we give away, do we have something to give away here? This giveaway right here, Decker? Do you want to do that? The third one?
Give it away.
She's like, Pete,
now.
I told you, Pete.
100 times.
Well, in fairness to you, she only told you like a minute ago. So.
Oh, here it is. We're going to give away a ChevyDriveChicago.com and WGN Radio stainless steel travel mug along with a bag of Papa Nicholas coffee, courtesy of your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Let's do that now while we're waiting for Carrie. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Okay. I'm getting text messages from my wife. Hey, if you're going to Costco, can you pick this, this, and this up?
I'm like, I told you, but you'll be getting more than water and pie.
It's crazy.
Can you get me some things?
No, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I don't have a card. Yeah, how about me a few things?
I'm running low on paper towels.
Oh, you sound like Mary Sandberg.
You always buy paper towels when you go to Costco. That's a given. Yeah. Water, paper towels, and toilet paper.
That's what I do no matter where I go. You always have to get, paper towels and toilet paper.
What do you need for Thanksgiving?
Are
you cooking, by the way?
Yeah, right. Please. have you seen me cook ever? I make great reservations.
You're a terrible cook? You're Greek. It's in your blood.
My family's a great cook. When I cook, like once a month, it's okay. You know, but I don't cook a lot. I really don't. Judy Pilot gave me a recipe one time, and she knew I didn't cook. She said, it's chicken pot pie. It's easy. It's delicious. You could make it. Chicken, vegetables, you know, a can of whatever, soup.
Right.
And then you put it in, you bake it.
That's it. Well, simple.
Well, she get, you know, there's Bisquick in it to make the crust.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so when it came out of the oven, I sprinkled the Bisquick on the top of it like it was salt or like a, you know, a decoration, like sprinkles. And she went, you know,
is your mother a good cook?
Oh, my mother's a phenomenal cook.
Don't you pay attention? Didn't you pay attention growing up?
I did. Not too much. I'm trying to get out of it. No, my family, great cooks. My aunt, my mother. My dad never cooked. I guess I take after him.
My mother is hosting Thanksgiving on Thursday. She started cooking last week.
Yeah.
Rolling grape leaves. Mm-hmm. What do you guys... that's
the domadas?
Yes. So,
but you call them the domas, right?
We call them...
domadas?
What a unib. Grape leaves.
Grape leaves.
With rice.
Right.
Started rolling them last week.
Yep, with the rice.
Sometimes cabbage rolls.
You could put meat in there, too, sometimes.
She puts lamb.
See, that's good. I've watched my mom make those. I've made those with her.
Those are simple to make.
I know.
Simple.
I don't
understand. I need to talk to your mother.
You do.
Our next guest, his book, As You Wish, Inconceivable Tales from the Making of the Princess Bride, is a New York Times bestseller just released on paperback. New episodes of The Art of More are now streaming free on Crackle. It is the prince himself, Cary Elwes. Cary, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We were just talking about The Princess Bride. It's one of those movies, if you're just surfing channels and you run into it, you got to finish the movie. It never ends.
I call it the gift that keeps on giving. It really is.
It is the gift that keeps on giving. Now, your book that you that came out last year,
yes.
As You Wish, Inconceivable Tales from the Making of The Princess Bride, a New York Times bestseller. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. And then it just came out in paperback, which is what we're selling now, and it made the LA Times bestseller list, number one.
Well, tell me about the making of the movie. Tell me something that we didn't know from The Princess Bride.
Here's what you may or may not know. First of all, I can barely remember a day without laughter on that set, and that's one of the reasons I wrote the book, because the fans always ask me, was it as much fun making as it looked? And I always say it was more fun. What they might not know is I broke my left toe from fooling around on Andre the Giant's all-terrain vehicle. They may not know that the rodent of unusual size was arrested. They may not know that Andre stopped filming with a 16-second fart that literally brought the entire town to a standstill. There's lots of stuff in there. It's great fun.
Did he drink a six-pack just in between scenes? Is that true?
He drank something called an American. He called it an American, and it was a beer pitcher filled with pretty much every liquor you could think of. And the reason he was doing that, his doctor told him he was in terrible back pain, and they couldn't give him medication for his pain, so they asked him what he does for pain, and he said, well, I drink, boss, like that. And they said, well, you just keep drinking, and we'll operate on you after the movie is done.
because
he was fine. He never missed a line. He never was late. I mean, he was incredible.
He was slow moving in the movie, though. You could tell that something was wrong.
Well, he was slow moving anyway. It's 400 pounds you got to move around. over 7 feet. It's real estate. You know what I'm saying?
Can we talk about the greatest line from the movie? Let me give it to you, okay? I've been practicing for years.
Go ahead.
Hello. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Gary, does it take you back to the Academy Awards? Wow.
Wow. You have definitely been practicing that.
Who was the hairiest guy on the set? Was it Andre the Giant or Mandy Patinkin?
I think Mandy was.
I knew it.
Yes, definitely so. Cary Elwes on the line with us. Tell us about this series called The Art of More on Crackle. What's that all about?
I'm very proud of this series. It's a really fun show. We had over 2 million viewers in the first season, and now we're in the second season, and it's free. You can go to crackle.com and start watching it for free. It's an online streaming network, and it's a really fun, exciting show about the art world. And I know that sounds boring, but it's not. We pull back the curtain on the dark, devious side of the art community, and theft, forgery, and deceit, and all kinds of great stuff. And it's with Dennis Quaid, Kate Bosworth, myself, and this guy Christian Cook. And we're very proud of the show. It's really fun.
Does Dennis Quaid ever age?
Incredible. The guy's got a six pack, and he's, you know, he's 60. It's incredible.
Yeah, he's always in great shape, man. One of the great things nowadays is you have these streaming TV shows. I mean, House of Cards, which won many, many awards.
Right.
Crackle has been doing this for a while. I love that they have this outlet now, and people can watch it on their phones during lunch at work.
Yeah, on any device. You can watch it through your PlayStation platform or Xbox, anything. It's incredible. It's the new way of watching shows, I think.
Cary, how cool is it? Princess Bride actually has a coloring book, a storybook to color that's coming out, too, this fall, which is so...
Really?
Isn't that cool? Is it neat that it just kind of spans the generation, so you have people, you know, our age, people younger than that, just loving it?
I call it the gift that keeps on giving, just because it never seems to end. I have fans that range from 2 years old to folks in their 90s. It's incredible.
I love it. And we had John O'Hurley on last hour, and Andy reminded us of something.
You did one episode, is that correct, of Seinfeld?
I did. That's right. I did.
forgot, too.
And I remembered it, yes.
You remembered it, really?
You can do a lot better than this guy.
Yeah, right? That's right. Very good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun doing that show. Those guys were amazing, truly.
Well, of course, great writing. Everything's about great writing nowadays. The Art of More, streaming now for free on Crackle. Of course, The Princess Bride, you can check them out. And just released on paperback, as you wish, Inconceivable Tales from the Making of The Princess Bride. Cary, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. And I want to wish you all and all your listeners a very happy holidays.
Thank you, my friend. Take care.
Thanks, Cary.
God bless. Take care.
Boy, bye-bye.
Just a nice guy.
And he's so cute. Is he still on hold? Sorry, he's so cute.
Can I have his phone number, please? All right, it's 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. I want to say congratulations to my nephew, Joel Olson. Got married over the weekend. Married his longtime girlfriend, Amelia. We had a great wedding on Saturday. My sister, Di, brought down the house with a speech.
Nice. Is this your sister who's the nun?
No, this is not my sister, no. Nuns cannot have children. They're married to God. I have four sisters.
Right.
This is the oldest sister in the family.
Got it.
But did she give the blessing?
The nun did not.
No.
The priest did.
Okay.
Nice.
The nun likes to lay low.
Do you call her the nun?
listen to her the nun.
Sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, you do. I mean, when you're calling, is she in your phone as the nun?
I have it in my phone as the convent.
Really?
Yes.
That's the convent. Cool.
But she wears the habit and the whole deal.
Yeah.
And she doesn't like to draw attention to herself. She just...
No.
And she's so obviously sweet. When you wear a habit, you're going to call attention
That's what I said to her.
We met her.
Oh, that's right.
Washington,
you did meet her.
When we had the remote in Washington, Illinois.
Yeah, she was home
she's
that day.
She's a sweetheart.
But congrats to my nephew, Joe. Now, here is a question that I was arguing with my brothers. How much do you give now for a wedding? nowadays?
That is a great, great question. It's crazy. We just went through this, I want to say about 2 weeks ago before I went on vacation, mm-hmm. and I thought, what do you give? I mean, because it's all over the board. All right, me personally?
Yeah.
I would give $100.
Okay.
For myself, because they say you're supposed to give what the cost of your plate would be, but now I think it's up to, what, $200? I mean, I think it's getting
it's
really
out of
expensive.
Control, but you have to take into consideration if it's a family member, if it's right. a friend, if it's a destination wedding, the price goes down, if you ask me.
It was what in Franklin Park. Does
well,
that count as a destination
no, no.
wedding?
No, it's if you go to Mexico
sure?
or
no,
Hawaii.
Oh,
like
Hawaii.
If you get on a plane
Franklin
and you
Park.
Fly.
Then you got to pay for all that. Yeah. So, you know, then it really is different.
Mary, how much? What do you give?
It depends. It really, it's anywhere from... $150 to $250, you know, just depend. And then if you're three people are invited from your family or four people invited from, then it gets even higher if you're paying for the whole thing.
All right, so that brings up a good point too. Do you pay for yourself, mm-hmm. or what if you bring a date?
I say that if you're by yourself, and I just went to a wedding in San Diego.
Yeah.
So I figured, I flew out there, but these are close friends of mine that it was $100. I give them $100.
Right.
Yeah, but you had to fly.
But I was invited by myself, and I did fly.
Right.
Okay.
And, so I thought that was good.
And now, a family member?
It's
I mean,
a different story.
Very close.
My nephew,
$200.
My wife went, and my son.
So maybe $300 for you.
I gave him $250.108.
Yeah. That's
nice for the $100.
He's a huge Cub fan. Yeah. I thought that would be funny. He'd get it. $250.108.
That's cute.
So you know, it's good. That. Plus, you saved yourself, $48 and change?
I did.
I like that.
So, okay, now I feel bad. I got to drop
him
another
$20. $20 and 16 cents for 2016.
I also don't like to give, I know this is big now too, gift cards as gifts. I like to get them. So
what?
You guys can give those
like
to
a Visa
me.
Gift card?
Well, here's why. I like that. I like getting them, but I don't like giving them because I think people put a value on that. So if I gave you a $100 gift card, you'd think, oh, that's really generous. But if I gave Andy, a $25 iTunes, what do you think, I'm cheap?
No.
That's interesting.
I'm not getting you guys that. I'm just saying.
Right.
Well, here was the problem with the wedding I just went to, because they were registered at a local little mom-pa shop in San Diego that did not, you could not order anything online. You actually had to call the store to be able to do, you were basically
cash.
Shopping blind. You were shopping blind.
Right. Cash is king, though. Everybody wants cash.
Yeah. Cash,
so I took care of them that way, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I'd rather give a gift. I mean, if I can give a gift, I'd rather do that.
$250.108 was okay.
I think it's fine. Yeah,
I think
it's cute. I like
next
it.
Time and an extra $48,
like,
and you're good to go.
The
I guess I could
have
did $301.08. I guess I could have done.
No, you saved yourself $48.
It's just a hard decision, because you don't want to be a cheapskate. Jeez. You don't want to look cheap, and then
now
you don't
want to
look. I don't know.
I'll invite him over.
I don't
over.
Think you look cheap at all.
I'll
no,
invite him
no,
over
no.
for dinner. How's that?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
720 WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Our next guest, 60 years in the business. Wow. He's worked with some of the most beautiful women in the history of Hollywood, from Marilyn to Elizabeth Taylor to Stephanie Powers, who we'll talk about in a second in Heart to Heart, to Natalie Wood, who he married. His new book is entitled I Loved Her in the Movies. He is a stud. It is the great Robert Wagner. Robert, thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning and happy day to you. It's like the weather is pretty good back there, but cold, huh?
Yes, not bad for Chicago. But Robert, we were talking a few minutes ago about Heart to Heart. That's when I fell in love with you and Stephanie Powers. I thought you were married in real life because you two had such great chemistry. And when I found out you weren't married, I was so disappointed.
Yeah, that show was so wonderful for us. We had just such a great time making it. Lionel Stander was so wonderful. And it was a wonderful hit. And Stephanie and I had some great times together. We traveled all over the world doing the show, and she was a tremendous contributor to it. And obviously, she's in my book. I couldn't do a book called I Loved Her in the Movies without including Stephanie.
Did you know her before Heart to Heart?
Yes, we had worked together in a film, in a series I was doing called Switch. And I met her then, and I thought she was so terrific. And, this is the third book that I've written with Scott Iman. And in my first book, Pieces of My Heart, there's a picture in that book of Stephanie, Natalie, and Jill, all in the same ballet class when they were about 8 or 10 years old. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
That is amazing. I used to love watching you guys, too, and I loved your little dog, Freeway. But I loved you on Broadway, too. You did Love Letters with Stephanie, correct? Or was it with Jill?
Stephanie and I did Love Letters for a while, and then Jill and I did it for a long, long time, almost 9 years. We traveled all over the country. We played Chicago, which was so sensational, and it's our favorite city, and I'm not just saying that because I'm talking to you now, but we spent a lot of time in Chicago, and we played there, and it was wonderful. Yeah, the Royal George, it was great.
Robert Wagner on the phone with us. The name of his book is called I Loved Her in the Movies. You've worked with all the leading ladies, from Marilyn to Liz. Does one stand out for you?
What an interesting question. listen, they all are so special, and that, as you said, is the reason that I wrote this book, because it's a tribute to all of them. But I loved working with Elizabeth. She was just fabulous, and I produced a picture that we both did together, and it was very exciting to be able to work with her. I loved her dearly, and I also did a picture with Audrey Hepburn, and I'd known Audrey for a long time, and she was a very special woman, very, very special lady. And we had a great deal of time of fun together, and she was taken from us so young. You know, she had such a great, great future, very special woman. And, all these ladies, Betty Davis I worked with, and I never thought, I'd ever have an it's just a gift that I don't know where it came from, but I had this opportunity to work with Sophia Loren, and I mean it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. And so Scott and I, started to put these things down on paper, and we thought, well, maybe there's a book in this, and we gave it to our literary agent in New York, Mort Chenklo, and he responded to it very positively. We gave it to our editor at Viking, who had published our last book, and he thought it was a good idea. So we started putting it down, and then it started to evolve. It started to really get into how much these women had done for me and for all of us. And I mean, they gave up so much to do it. And a lot of people haven't, the book just came out on Tuesday. So, a lot of people hadn't read this book. And when we finished it, I gave it to Jill, and she thought it was, really, it was really good. And Scott gave it to his wife, Lynn, and then I gave it to a couple of my daughters, and they loved it. So the reaction to it so far has been really very positive, and it's exciting,
I think it's wonderful. You made a statement, I think, earlier this week, Robert, in an interview that I was reading online, saying that women actually do have it harder in Hollywood than men.
Yeah, they do. I do believe that. I think women have it harder all the way around. Forgetting about Hollywood, I mean, I think they've had, to really fight for all the things that they've gotten so far, and it's not easy. I mean, it's these women that I write about. They were mothers and lovers and actresses and running a home, and that's not easy to do. And some of them had to give that up. And they got a lot for it, and they were reacted to in a very positive way, and they were also special. But still, I think they that's what the book's about. It's a tribute to these wonderful, wonderful women who gave us all so very much.
Tell me about Marilyn Monroe. The first time you met her, and were you taken back by her beauty? What was she like?
Well, yeah, obviously, I was, but we were all kids together. We were young. We were starting off. I was under contract to Fox, and she was there, and I became the test boy. I wanted to learn as much as I could being in front of the camera and become relaxed. So I tested with all of these beautiful young ladies that came
through. What a great job.
Yeah, it was what a lucky break. And Marilyn was one of those girls, and she was a young girl. We were all excited about being in the movies, and she wanted to be a star. And she, you know, we were all young and ready to go. And she was full of life and fun and had a great sense of humor. Terrific, terrific woman. And she wanted it, you know. She wanted to be there and wanted to act and wanted to do it all. And it wasn't easy doing what she did, you know.
What was Liz Taylor
like? Nobody else ever did it.
Tell me about Liz Taylor when you looked into her eyes. Tell me about that.
I met Elizabeth when I was like about 13, 14 years old. You know, she was a young girl in Hollywood and all that. And then when I started in the picture business, I used to see her the time I knew her when she was married and, you know, between marriages and all of that kind of thing. But to look in her eyes, I wrote in my first book, was like putting an egg beater in your brains. Because, you know, to look at her, she was just incredible. But she gave us so much. You know, she was a very definite woman, very courageous. Her position on AIDS that she took, I mean, nobody took that. And she just grabbed that by the neck and shook it pretty hard. And she did a great deal for that organization and for AIDS and making people aware of it. And then at that time, that was unheard of, you know.
Well, we had John O'Hurley on the show earlier this morning. We had Carrie Elwes on last hour. Those two both appeared in Seinfeld, and Andy's chomping at the bit.
Yes.
Go ahead, Andy.
Yeah, and I know you did too. You were with Stephanie Powers in that episode as Mickey's father, right?
Right, yeah.
The anti-dentite.
Yeah.
6 degrees of Seinfeld.
Who knew?
So-and-so, yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah,
absolutely. It's the trifecta of Seinfeld.
Oh, on Seinfeld, yeah. Yeah, Jill and I did that, yeah.
How about Austin Powers?
That was fun.
How much fun was Austin Powers when you did that?
Oh, it was fabulous. You know that. Now see how lucky you can be. You know, this business is luck and breaks and timing. And I was doing Saturday Night Live. I met Mike Myers, who wrote the skits that I did, and we did them together. And I liked him so much, and obviously he liked me. And he wrote number two for me. That script hit the door. I fell down laughing at that. I thought it was so great. You know, and to play number two, that was great. And after 60 years in the business, to be known as number two, there's a lot to be said for that.
Robert Wagner, I loved her in the movies, is the name of his new book. You are a stud, and it's great to talk to you, Robert. Thank you so much.
Yeah, great to talk to you, and have a lovely Thanksgiving.
You
okay?
Too.
And you take care of yourself.
Thanks, Robert.
Bye-bye.
It's 720 WGN. Thanks again to Robert Wagner. Talk about a distinct voice. And as I was talking to him, all I could think about, my image was him and his hair. He had great hair.
Yeah.
Oh, God, he's so cute. And he still has that old-time movie star voice.
He does, doesn't
he? You know,
with
the accent that they talk like this. Right. Or whatever. I can't
Perfect
even do
diction.
It. Yes. Perfect yes. diction. Yes. I love it.
God. What a stud. That's awesome.
Completely.
And he was fun.
Super cool.
Tomorrow on the show, the mayor is going to be stopping by.
Yes, very excited. I missed him last week.
You have a history with the mayor.
I have a very good history with the mayor. Why do you laugh?
Well,
no, we do.
There was,
we,
just sounds,
we,
it,
no, I've covered him.
Menacing.
No, I've covered him right. for years, uh-huh. you know, as a reporter. He's great to cover, obviously. Always a lot of interesting news, good and bad. And we decided over the summer to do a bike tour of Chicago because they're putting in all these new bike lanes along 18th.
Just the two of you?
Yeah, well, we were going to go and then have Bennett and Kristen film it, you know, so we make a video. And then for Channel 9, we do a little piece on, you know, the city's bike routes and whatnot. But it kept getting postponed because of me and the mayor. You know, the mayor had to put it off because he had other commitments and I had my work schedule at WGN TV, so I couldn't do it a couple of the days. And I ran into him at Hamilton and he accused me of ditching him. But I'm putting it nicely how he said it. Uh-huh. And I said, no, mm-hmm. Mayor. I said, I didn't ditch you. You ditched me. So we were kind of joking about who ditched who. So I don't know, maybe tomorrow we might have a little opportunity to take our little mini, maybe we can do like a virtual tour. I'm thinking we do a virtual tour.
Hmm.
Do it right here from
you and the mayor. By the way, the bike lanes, I understand that we need them in the city, but Clybourne,
they
ruined Clybourne.
Right, I know. Well, that was the concern, too, because the State Street, they built the big bike lanes with the big bus stations now, and do you really need all that room? So that was going to be kind of part of our bike tour. He was going to talk about the differences with all the bike lanes throughout the city.
And he's a big biker.
Big time biker,
yes.
Yeah.
You're talking right by a new city, right?
Yes, everywhere.
By Halsted.
From Division all the way up to North Avenue or even past that.
And then
they're
different too. If you go more south, like if you go to Pilsen or 18th Street, there's the bike lanes that have the rubber, not borders, but kind of the blockades that are that are.
So you don't
up.
Have the cement median like they do on Clybourne?
Right, right. They're plastic barriers.
Man, I could buzz down Clybourne. I would always go to the right. No one would use those right lanes, and now they're the bike lanes. That's a bummer. So it makes my commute longer. Okay. Bill and Wendy are coming up next. We'll say hi to them and say goodbye. It's 720 WGN. All right, Bill and Wendy are coming up next. It's Bill's birthday, Bill. Happy birthday.
Woo. Oh, thank you.
Oh, there he is outside the window.
Oh, he is.
He's late today. What do you got planned for Bill's birthday?
Oh, strippers. And I don't mean girls taking their clothes off. I mean like people coming in stripping wood. We'll do that later on. He'll appreciate that.
You sound
more
like my wife. Yes.
They're like whittler,
do something.
Whittlers, aren't they? They like whittle wood? Okay,
well,
sorry.
No, that's a whittler.
That's a
which will go great with this little pocket knife I got, Bill.
Everybody's so happy this week because they know it's a short week, and then we're going to eat a ton of food on Thursday.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to shop over the weekend. It's fun seeing people.